Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here with Katie Galley, another episode of High Velocity Radio. And we're going to get into it in a minute, but first update me on what you did this morning. Important morning for you.
Yeah. So we had the Women in Technology Forum last week. We had Women in Technology in studio for their monthly show. And then every month they have a forum where they introduce just really impressive people who come in and speak. And today they kind of changed it up a little bit. They did a TED Talk style. So they had four different speakers. They each did about a 15 to 20 minute segment, and it was on the Internet of Things. Oh. So I learned a lot. I got a little scared about learning about cybersecurity and how frequently you should change your passwords. And yeah, but it was good.
And so they're going to be back in shortly to talk about next month's forum.
In just a couple weeks, they'll be back.
Good stuff. Well, that was interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting.
But it's not as interesting as what we got going on here.
Absolutely not.
All right. Today on High Velocity Radio, we're going to lead off with Sean Priest, and he's with Clearwave. And then we'll get to Gearson Cardona and Leo Rojas with MobiCap. So first up on High Velocity Radio, Sean Priest with Clearwave. Welcome, Sean.
Well, great. Well, we appreciate the invitation to join the show as a company headquartered here in Atlanta, right near the Perimeter Mall. Really excited about the time. So I'm Sean Priest, been in Atlanta now 20 years. I may give off a little accent of data or farmer ID, originally from Massachusetts, but now fully implemented in the...
Really? We'll see about that. So we can bring up the New England Patriots when you're going to pick the right team.
So I was at the Super Bowl sitting with Atlanta Falcons fans. So that was a little
awkward. Who were you cheering for?
I was actually cheering for the home state. So I go with my adopted Falcons and my home state.
So you can stay.
I can stay. Both of my kids were born here. So I think
So you're stuck with the Falcons.
I'm stuck with them.
So tell us about Clearwave. How are you serving folks?
So Clearwave, we do patient self-service. So we work with hospitals and physician practices and clinics across the country. And essentially what we do is we help improve the patient experience, which other industries started years ago by adding self-service, whether that is a kiosk in the physical office, whether it's doing a mobile pre-check on their phone, whether it's filling out forms at home prior to coming in. And then we also not only headquartered here in Atlanta, but we work with over 20 companies here in Georgia. So we work with, for example, Thomas Eye and Georgia Eye and Gwinnett Cardiovascular. So really great clients here in Georgia.
So you work with medical practices and hospitals?
Correct.
And then you help them facilitate better kind of patient experiences?
Correct. So from the, I'm assuming the folks here and the folks listening have all been to the hospital.
Yes.
And if you look at other experiences compared to your visit to specifically the doctor, a lot of time you spend waiting, filling out forms. The clipboard is still very real today. And we can essentially both automate that process and then also how can I do these pieces at home? So we provide value to the patients by improving their experience with the clinician, with the doctor, with the hospital. And then we also help the practices improve their business processes. So a lot of times just think about you write the wrong number. That number has to get transformed. I've got to take a copy of this information. We can actually help those practices and hospitals better run their business. And it's a very exciting time in this space because if you look at hospitals traditionally a laggard to other industries and businesses are really picking up for Clearwave. We've been doing this for 14 plus years. So now the market's finally catching up to our vision.
But Clearwave's been doing it for a while, but you're new to Clearwave?
Correct. So I've actually just joined Clearwave 3 months ago. So I've actually been a consultant for the company for the last 6 years, watching their growth, watching their struggles as a smaller company, waiting for the market to come around. And then hopefully, Lee, I timed it perfectly as the leader of sales and marketing with the market now catching up to Clearwave's vision.
So now your title, though, is Chief Revenue Officer.
Correct.
So now what was the thinking behind calling it Chief Revenue Officer?
So the way we looked at it is versus just doing a sales and marketing.
Right.
My role across the company is how can I improve the quality of our revenue and then how can I protect our revenue? And then for me, we have a chief financial officer, and I work very closely with him and those components. So it was an interesting piece. And just a side story, we did spend time on the title, down. Am I senior vice president of sales, chief sales officer,
right.
chief growth officer? And we decided that for Clearwave, the company, chief revenue officer. And then for us, when you look at the value we provide to hospitals and clinics and physicians, is we help them with the quality of their revenue. So one of the big pieces is insurance and insurance verification, insurance eligibility. We can check that real time. So to help the practice with collections and then also help the patients, because there's nothing in the bigger pain if they transpose your insurance number, then they say you don't have the insurance, you have the insurance. So that was another factor in our decision to go with chief revenue officer.
And then by leaning into kind of digital and online entry, that minimizes errors, right?
Correct, 100%. And it's also minimizes the error. And what I find very exciting is you're now the patient takes a greater role in their healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And they're responsible for it. And it is interesting, like these days we still use a lot of email because, again, we do the mobile pre-check where we can send stuff to their phone, send stuff to their email account. And one of the amazing changes is people have the incorrect email address. And we can have the patient correct that information, which helps them get better service from the physician, the hospital, and the clinic.
So now you're finding that more and more medical practices are open to this type of digitization of this kind of information, where historically, like you said, that there's been a clipboard. And not only is there a clipboard, every time I turn around, I got to fill out the same information over and over again.
100% that they are now. So what I talk about is I believe that we're really selling change management,
right.
And it's change management both for the patient, because some of the patients love to talk to people, so that doesn't go away.
Right.
We're just adding self-service to full service. And there has to be a revenue model too, so let's also be real in regards to the expense piece of it. So now their hospitals and physicians are now seeing the value. It also hurts them to touch that data four different times.
Right. It doesn't make sense. And that's where errors can be made. I mean, it's bad enough the doctor's sloppy handwriting, but what if every patient's handwriting?
100%. And that's where, if you look at the technology adoption life cycles from, you know, technology enthusiast to early adopter to early majority to late majority, I believe we're now crossing that chasm into early majority. One of the great things for us as a company, we now get so many more inbound inquiries in regards to people looking for our technology versus just a year ago where we had to do more outbound strategies.
So now, is your typical prospective client one in which that they are going from handwritten to exploring into digital?
100%. So that's the way I look at it from a market perspective. It is a greenfield market. So we're not replacing other things. 80% of the time, probably 90% of the time, they actually have nothing in place today, and then they're adding Clearwave. I was just at a meeting, interesting enough, last week, Monday, in Maryland, where they actually had tried tablets before.
Mm-hmm.
And then what they found is tablets was just replacing the clipboard. So now they still had to deal with the tablet, and they actually turned that project off. And then for us, they found the kiosk, which really is a locked-in tablet.
Right, exactly, a stationary tablet.
And the kiosk, it doesn't move. It stays plugged in. It's very interesting. And then one piece, too, that's hard both for the front office staff is collecting and asking for money.
Mm-hmm.
So we do find that we see higher collections pieces because the kiosk always asks for it.
Right. They don't have a problem.
Yeah. They do not have a problem with it.
Right.
And then the other piece on the value for one of our accounts is Medical Center of Ophthalmology out of San Antonio. And they actually had 23 front office staff. They reduced that number to 7 with the kiosk, but what we're most excited about is they didn't lay anybody off. They were actually able to reallocate those resources. Because again, when you go in to see the doctor, you mentioned the clipboard, it's very busy. There's a lot of pieces going on. And then the less time they can actually spend just recopying information, they can provide more value to the practice.
Now, when you say the word kiosk, is it a kind of cabinet-like device, or is it like a desktop with a monitor and a mouse and a keyboard where I just have a station, kind of a little mini cubicle where I just go and input the information?
So it's actually got a combination of this. We actually sell a freestanding piece, which is very nice, actually made in Norcross, Georgia, so I can make right here in Georgia, or we can actually do a tabletop. So it's also interesting for us is we want to improve the workflow, and a lot of these physician offices and clinics have been around for 50 years, and they actually have to remodel their lobby to be more friendly to the kiosk.
So now when talk about the implementation of that. So say I'm going from the clipboard into this type of new technology. you said it, it's change management. This is not how we've done things previously. So how do you kind of onboard them and get the thing actually working in the office?
So we have a great implementation team, again, headquartered right here in Atlanta. And we've also done a little fun thing. So we have what we created called the Solutions Guy. So our Chief Operating Officer, Eric Anderson, has created this video series on our website where you can actually go through and see some of our implementation strategies. And one of the big pieces on implementation is making it fun both for the patients and for the front office staff. So putting balloons on the kiosk, I know it sounds cheesy, but it actually gets them excited about it.
Right, that's something new, something different.
Something different
here.
And then also educate the staff that they really don't want to make copies of driver's license. They really don't want to retype that information, and so they can provide more value to it. And then for the healthcare IT folks listening in, we do connect to the electronic health record. So our typical implementation is about 12 weeks, and part of that is actually integrating with their back-end systems. So we do need to take that level of detail to connect to those systems. So I'm not just automating the clipboard, I'm sending that information into the electronic health record.
Now, how do you deal with kind of the privacy and the HIPAA requirements, like where somebody could look over my shoulder, or is this really private?
Yeah, so it was interesting when Kate made the comment about Internet of Things and security. We're all in on security. So actually, the kiosk, you have to stand right behind it. Actually, it's got a protective screen on mm-hmm. that. We actually take payments of it, so we've got all of the security around the payments. Again, back, I'll make another Georgia plug. We actually host our data in Suwanee, Georgia. It's a totally secure piece. So that's a huge piece to it for us, is the security of the patient's data, both transferring from them, implementing that information, entering that information, and then transferring it to the electronic health record.
Now, what's the fear from the prospect's mind in doing something of this magnitude? Like, what are they afraid of?
So I think their biggest thing is change. I mean, it really does come down to change. We've always done it this way.
We've always done it this way. This works.
And,
right.
And it doesn't work.
But they think it does.
And then they think mm-hmm. about, and we even had this, you know, that and they care about their people. So you have to also educate them. And that's why I love the case study out of Medical Center of Ophthalmology, is you are able to reallocate resources. So
right.
it's not, so there's all these components to it. But I think the biggest barrier is change. And now I'm back to my piece about early adopter and markets taking off. Is we got a lead the other day that one of the physicians went to another one of our clients and had to use the kiosk to check in. And they're like, well, why don't we have this?
Right. Oh, so they were doing it for their own personal health.
Their own personal health. And right. they called us and said, hey, how can I use this? So I think our biggest barrier is just inertia. And then it does take a while for these organizations to make more decisions. They want to bring more people in. But it really is a very exciting time in our space.
So now once they do make the change, when do they start seeing maybe efficiencies and financial benefits of making the change over to digital?
Oh, within 30 days.
Within 30 days, they're seeing a noticeable
material change. So, and they see it in really three areas. One is patient satisfaction, because patients hate waiting in line. So another example is Greater Lawrence up in Massachusetts. They decreased their check-in time from 20 minutes to 3 minutes. So
wow.
The patients see that value. The second piece is with the people around the workflow and the front office staff. And then the third reality, I know healthcare is expensive, and the collections. So we've actually, the largest single payment we've received at the kiosk is $10,011.
Wow.
Somebody paid at the kiosk. So they start seeing those pieces. And then what we do as a company, because we are implementing change, is we've created what we call value reports. And then the value reports give an executive summary at the end of each month that we send to leadership that says, okay, here's my check-in time. Here's how much I'm collecting. Here's how much people are using the kiosk. Because we do find, we had a piece at one of our clients the other day. I looked at the value reports, and the kiosk usage went from 80% to 50%. And essentially, they had an employee said, we're telling patients they didn't need to use the kiosk.
Oh, right, because so like sabotaging.
Exactly, because of the change, right? That right. employee was afraid of change. So then we get on the call with them. We say, this is going on. And right, this person's essentially afraid of change. How do we get them to adopt the change?
So now when it's being implemented, are you doing an assessment prior to that to see kind of a baseline of, okay, this is how long things take right now. This is how much we typically collect. And then you're comparing it like within regular time
Exactly. So we got you to go through. We do the time studies. We understand where they are. We understand how their collections today. We also understand the insurance eligibility. So all of those components are play a major role in it. And then our goal is to put together case studies. So if you go to Clearwave's website, make a little plug here, clearwaveinc.com. We actually have specific examples of Marietta I is on there. Thomas I is on there. One of our biggest accounts is University of Alabama Health System. Another one down in Montgomery Baptist Health System. So we have specific examples of how they're proving those out. And keep reminding them, because you do. And then how do you evolve with it? So our first client, Cicero down in Florida, is still a client today. And when they started out, we had no integration. We basically, I was joking about, you know, making the clipboard manual. That's what we did for them 10 years ago. And now, or 12 years ago, actually, now we're actually continuing to evolve. So as people get more used to it, as they get more comfortable with it, we can do more and more at the kiosk and then also on the phone, because everybody has a phone these days. And what more pieces can you do at home? So if I fill out that clipboard at home on my computer, then I don't have to sit in the office and fill that thing out for 20 minutes either.
And then so does that mean that my appointment time instead of 10 o'clock could be 10:15?
Yes, and then the waiting, and then the practices can become more optimal. So they can actually see more
patients, right?
And then back to your about the management data is tracking where the bottlenecks are. So for the efficiency experts on the line and the operational folks, we can actually track the stages of the patients. So again, another example, one of our clients was actually in ophthalmology. Everybody thought the front office or the waiting room was the bottleneck. They implemented Clearwave. They were tracking the stages, and essentially there's a field vision test device that you have to go back after you through.
Right.
They actually added another machine because what they found out, that was the real bottleneck. It wasn't actually the front office. It was that. And then they actually, which was fantastic, to make room for it, they took it from the lobby, right? Because they now didn't have the people
less
waiting.
Space, right.
Exactly.
So now, how do you find the Atlanta healthcare IT community?
Fantastic.
So has this been very supportive for you? A lot of collaboration, a lot of opportunities for talent?
It's huge. So I'm a huge proponent of the Atlanta market, and the Atlanta HIT market is very vibrant. So there's a lot of companies that are headquartered here in Atlanta. We've also got Georgia Tech, which is a great institution, Georgia State, University of Georgia. Also make a little plug down in Alabama. My daughter is a senior at Auburn. Mm-hmm. So we draw talent is great. The airport is fantastic, so we can pull in people from around the country, easy to come into. And then the startup culture. So Atlanta is building the startup culture with the Georgia Tech, and I get it right, ATDC?
ATDC, absolutely.
Yeah, I always want to say ACDC.
Right.
So I got to take my time when I pronounce that one right. And then David Cummings, the Pardot founder.
Right.
Right.
And
so
Tech Village.
Tech Village. So those two groups are also helping to build that talent. So I think Atlanta is tremendous. If I can make one on the negative side, we got to figure out the traffic.
You're going to work on that autonomous car. One side hustle for you is figure out autonomous vehicles.
I'm on that. So my next car will be self-driving car. So I'm on that. And I live in Kennesaw, so I'm waiting for the elevated lane. Right. Hopefully the elevated lane will alleviate
some
too.
It seems like we're close on that at least. So now for you, when you're going around the country, how is Atlanta's reputation around the country?
So for Atlanta, HIT is very strong. I would actually, if you look at HIT across the country, Nashville strong, Boston strong, and then Philadelphia strong. But we have a huge reputation, a very strong reputation, a business friendly. So, and we can also recruit people into Atlanta. So as we look at talent out there, I moved to Atlanta, and I've been in HIT my full career. And so it's a big driver for us. So we have only expansion plans in Atlanta.
Now, what about the industry as a whole? It seems very turbulent. There's a lot of disruptions. People don't know how things are going to go. And whenever there's uncertainty, that creates a little stress for some organizations.
So healthcare, 18 cents, I don't know if the group knows, 18 cents of every dollar goes to healthcare. And it's a highly regulated industry. So there's a lot of complexities around it. It's also known as the third rail of politics.
Mm-hmm.
So the turmoil and churn as the industry is people really care at the end of the day about the patients, and they want what's best for the patients. And at the same time, the business model is artificial because the government and the funding and insurance companies, and then it's also fragmented in regards to if I go to one organization and I got all my information and they have Clearwave and things are great, then I go to another organization, they don't have it, I have to retype all this information again.
I'm starting from scratch again.
Right. So personally, I think it's a fantastic industry. And I think that churn is a good thing because it does help us get better. At the same time, it is a slow moving beast. Because if you think about the doctor's oath of do no harm, that's one reason why change is slow, because they're afraid of what's going to happen if I make this change.
Now, are you seeing that now that medicine is more outcome-based and that there has to be success now almost, has that changed your business at all? I mean, or you're in the front end of things where you're just capturing the data and the information on the front end and that doesn't really impact you in your work?
So we're not supposed to talk politics. but a huge part of it is reimbursement. So there was we were heading down a path in regards to value-based care and value-based outcomes, so actually compensating for quality. Mm-hmm. And then there have been recent shifts more back to the traditional of fee-for-service. So the more patients I see, the more revenue I gain versus the higher quality. And that's a big part of the churn. And if you look at the market and it makes sense to pay somebody to have a surgery because you know it takes that energy. Right, it's hard to pay somebody $100 a month to not do anything just because they're healthy. So right. There's a lot of complex to it. And then with our piece for it is the patient satisfaction surveys. So it is interesting. There's a piece called HCAHPS that's essentially 70% of the is about the quality scores and 30% is about the patient satisfaction. So for us, we can really help with that 30% of the patient satisfaction.
And then even no matter what happens on the outcome of the care, if they feel served and taken care of, that helps.
100%. Right? So like the bedside manner
right.
is true.
Doesn't that really help?
It really helps. It is tremendous, right? And other industries have figured this out, right? I mean, being candid, right? You go into the Target versus going into a Kmart, you have a better experience because they have a nicer lobby, right? They've got those pieces to it. So the same thing in healthcare. How can I actually invest in the infrastructure? How can I invest in the patient experience? How can I actually invest in the bedside manner? Those pieces really do make a difference.
Right. And that helps, even though there might be a challenging diagnosis for the patient, if they feel cared for and there's a lot of empathy and then the systems run well and they feel taken care of, it feels a little better.
It feels a lot better. I mean, it really is true. And again, this is part of the reason that healthcare is so complicated, is that what you need in your role, we may have the same diagnosis, we made the same treatment of care, but let's just say that you have a strong support staff, and when you go home, you're supported,
right?
And I go home and I'm not supported, I'm going to be back in the hospital in 30 days.
Right.
So there's so many, and the way you want to be treated, and end-of-life care is a huge piece to it. So it's also, it is 18 cents of every dollar. It is a lot of fun, but it is super complicated. Because if there were easy answers, we would have already done them.
So. Right. So now for you and your firm, what do you need more of?
What do you mean by what do I need more of?
Do you need more talent? Do you need more clients? Do you need more funding? Like where are you at in the growth of the organization?
So in Clearway's growth of the organization, for us is interesting. I would actually say that we need to continue the market momentum. So for us is how do we actually educate the market on the value of patient self-service? And that's educating both the consumers and educating the office staff, the clinicians, the administration, those pieces to it. So for us, that's how I would look at it. At Clearway, we look at ourselves as a development and sales and marketing organization. So how can we actually we reinvest all of our profits and we invest them in the product. How can we continue to make our product better? How can we continue to evolve?
And then ultimately you're trying to just serve the patient to make their life easier in this interaction, right?
Yeah, so if you look at the Clearwave tagline is the patient's choice. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. We may be actually selling to the physician's office, the clinic, the hospital, but ultimately our win is we're the patient's choice.
And then the patient, I would imagine it's almost universal that they prefer this than the writing on the clipboard 30 times.
Oh, 100%.
Right.
100%. Right. And it's also, we see the demographics. So we do spend a lot back to change. We'll go into certain practices and they'll say,
all of our people are seniors, so they don't want to type in the thing.
Right.
Is that accurate? I bet that's not accurate.
It's not accurate. So it happened to me last week in one of our practices, their average patient age is 68.
Right.
Right.
So they think, oh, they want to do it this way. This is how they've always done it.
Right. And I always laugh, my mother's retired and I can't get her off that damn iPad.
Right, exactly. So they're okay with it.
They are really okay with it. So
that's an unfounded fear.
100%. So, and they have to prove it with statistics, right? That's the other piece for us, back to educating the market, show them statistics.
Can you do some sort of a way to kind of allow them to dip their toe in this, or do they have to kind of commit to go in all the way with technology?
So what we do a lot of the times is we'll take, again, healthcare organizations continue to get bigger and bigger. Part of the pressure on the market is there's a lot of merger and acquisitions. You know, right. We see that in Atlanta here, sure, with Piedmont and Emory, right, making acquisitions, is that we could actually take a facility and then we could go do one facility, one location, prove it out. And that's been great for us. So one of our biggest accounts is Baptist Health down in Montgomery, which I mentioned. We actually started out in one location and now they have over 140 kiosks today.
Right. So it starts, you can kind of beta test this in a small, manageable way that isn't as scary. You don't have to bite off the whole thing at go, right?
Correct. And that helps them with the change management. It helps them.
Because now you have a case study. Look, they did it down the hall. I think we can do this too.
Right. And then they start to get that demand. But getting that first one, getting that that is definitely the hardest one. And I'm saying the market's moving in our direction, but it's still hard to go do that.
So now you mentioned you used to do some inbound outbound. Now you're getting more inbound. Do you do trade shows? Like, how do you get the word out about your work?
So we do a multi-pronged approach to it. And again, I believe that sales and marketing is tremendously hard. So there's no one size fits all.
Sure.
So we do industry trade shows, and they vary by the specific types of practices, whether it's hospitals, ophthalmology, orthopedics.
So you're doing those verticals.
We're doing the verticals. We also do, because integration is so important, can I connect to the electronic health record? We actually traditionally go to their user group meetings, so we take that strategy to it. And then we have a full marketing piece in regards to search engine optimization.
Right, so online you want to get that piece right.
Correct. So the case studies I talk about drive people to our site, putting calls to action on our site. I mentioned the solutions guy with Eric Anderson's a lot of fun. We created a video series to have fun with it, so people go search on that information. And then old school, the phone and email.
Really? So now, are you reaching the practice managers? Who is the one who makes at least the initial conversations for you?
So that's a great question, and that's one of our challenges. The what I would call the buyer really does vary. Mm-hmm. So it's small organizations. It can be the actual physician that is making the decision.
The
doctor. At larger organizations, it could be information technology. They have what's called patient access, which is a group of people trying to make that patient experience better. It can also be the administrators. It can be the practice manager. So for us, that is actually one of our sales challenges, to find out who is the right person. And we've developed buyer profiles and trying to track those pieces, but it's not that easy.
And then, because your service is good for that single doctor or a small practice as well as a hospital, right?
Correct. So, I mean, that's it. So one place could have, so we have clients that have one kiosk. I mentioned Baptist has 140 and they're getting value. You could have one kiosk and get
still
value.
Get value.
Correct.
Right. So that's another challenge, right? Because you're for all size entities.
Correct. Right. And as a, there's 40 of us. So that piece is, where do we put that energy?
Energy, right. You got to prioritize.
Where can we go win? Where can we make a difference?
And then, so you're relatively new at this role, but you've been with the company for a while. How has that transitioned into, you know, being the actual chief revenue officer and having that title, as opposed to I was a vendor, kind of I was a support staff?
So I don't know how many people have heard the bacon and eggs analogy, where the chicken is interested and the pig is committed.
Right.
So, and when I first joined, being around the company for 6 years, and as an external consultant, I really wasn't in the details. So I was the chicken or the egg, where I could float in.
Hey, you should do this. Okay, bye. I'm going to go.
110%. There is no doubt. And now I am the pig. I am actually committed.
How'd you do today, Sean?
Because we're a growing company.
Right.
I'm the first real sales leader. So the other interesting thing is the senior leadership team, which is great, Eric, Gerard, and Brian, and they all of them had a handle in sales, but sales didn't have a face.
And now they have a face.
Now they absolutely.
And that is you.
Now they absolutely. And it was just, I talked to our CEO this morning, and advice I gave him 3 years ago hasn't been implemented. And now he's like, you own it.
I'm
like,
that's right. Implement it. It becomes your problem now.
That's exactly right. And I said, it's a lot harder now that I'm here to go actually do that. So but you're right on.
And it's exciting, though.
Oh, it's so much. I'm having so much fun. It's been really great. And our clients love the product. So that's been most fun for me. So
it makes it easier, huh?
It does.
When they love the product.
It makes it so. And I've worked at technology companies where we were on the bleeding edge, right? And the bleeding edge does hurt. And we did, you know, have some projects that really struggled. So that has been so much fun. And I've been in the industry, so I've called other people around before I actually went full time. And my favorite story, I guess I won't use her name because of this, but It's a CFO at an organization. I called her up and I said, hey, I'm thinking about going Clearwave full time. And she goes, oh, I love those guys. They give a swear word about their clients.
Right.
That was so much fun. And I've been trying to ask her if I can put that into a brochure, but she's, right. she doesn't Not want yet. Her name in it yet.
Well, if somebody, are you looking to hire right now, or are you looking to grow the staff, or you're good where you are right now and you just want to kind of grow the market?
So your timing is perfect. So I would love to quadruple the sales team.
So, oh, wow. Yeah. So you're actively looking, like, are you looking for those kind of the SDR type people, or you want people that are walking around going?
So a multi-pronged approach. So I'm a believer in the phone. I'm a believer in generating. I'm also believing today, in today's market, the salesperson has to provide value to the buyer. So I've been selling long enough where the buyer, they had to come to me to get information.
Right.
Now with the internet and social media and their context, they have more information. So if you think about sales as a 9-inning game, they actually now bring us in the 5th or 6th inning, where mm-hmm. they used to bring us in the 2nd or 3rd inning.
Right, to educate them about what's out there.
Exactly. So they really don't need us there. So now I'm a huge believer in the Challenger sale. So the book's probably about 10 years old now.
Yeah, sure.
So I want to hire people that can generate leads, but then I need people to come in and then challenge the buyer's way of thinking. So one of the pieces specific to us is one of our competitors offers tablets. And people think tablets are great, tablets are sexy, but you have to challenge the buyer to say, tablet sounds like a great idea,
right.
but is it powered up? Is it charged? Is it connected to the Wi-Fi?
Right. What level of complexity have you now added on top of this change?
100%. And if you don't have a salesperson challenge that buyer, because I believe that to the buyer it makes sense. I'm just starting to, I want to add automation. Well, a tablet sounds
Here,
better.
Hand them this. Done.
Right.
In their head.
Exactly. And I got to clean the tablet. But if you have a salesperson that can't challenge the buyer in today's market, you will lose those deals. So I think that's a combination. And I also like career paths. So how can I actually set up a career path as we grow to start out as an SDR and then grow all the way up to have my job?
Right. And then it's this type of consultative sale is a different kind of skill set than an order taker in a lot of organizations. So.
Agreed. And that's where, because it is change management. And we also want to let them know it's changed. Because if you come in and go, yes, the kiosk is going to solve all your problems and mobile pre-check.
Right, you're going to have a problem in a little bit.
Exactly, right? All you did was you won a client and then
and
there's
you push
a bigger...
push the can down the road.
So we talk about in the sales process, let them right. know that the first 30 days are the hardest. Right, you've actually got to go through and make sure your staff's committed. And I mentioned it earlier about the balloons. That again, it sounds cheesy, but it gets people excited about it. Let them know the value of it. Do a concierge. So for those of you who travel, if you go to Delta, right, they've got all the kiosks at Delta. We use the same manufacturer, by the way.
Right.
But they have a person in the red coat walking That's around
helping the
to
people,
help you,
right?
Because
especially when it's new. You know, maybe you don't need it a year from then, but at the beginning, someone should be standing there helping out.
Correct, and getting everybody excited about right. it. So again, back to the salesperson. If they underestimate that in the sales process, we actually pay for it in the implementation process.
Right. So now if somebody wanted to learn more and have a more substantive conversation, or if they're a potential client is somebody who's having either they've never done digital before and they're making the change, right? That's an easy one. But somebody who's maybe gone through an implementation and it's not kind of panning out in the way they envision, that's also a conversation you want to have as well, right?
Correct. And then how do you educate them? First, you have to learn, right? So seek first to understand, then to be understood. Why did the previous one fail?
Right.
And again, I tell this story. If they've had 3 failed implementations, it may actually not be the vendor.
Right, exactly. Well, there's a saying that we say, like, if you run into a jerk once a day, then you ran into a jerk. But if you're running into him every day, then you might be the jerk.
Can I steal that one?
Yeah. So sometimes, you know, the problem is you.
I agree. But for us, right? And then how do we as an implementation team manage that risk?
Right.
So we do have one, I've been name dropping. We have one super high maintenance client. Like anytime there's any problems, she calls the CEO. Right. So we're committed to her success, but our conversations are about how do we actually help her through this process?
Because that's what your service is self.
Correct.
Right. It's about the person taking control of the information, right? The patient is the one that's going to be implementing some of the content onto the thing.
Agreed. And our implementation has to continue to resell, because a lot of times, and especially large enterprise sales, the person you sell is not the person that actually implements the product.
Right.
So there's a whole nother process. So we've created a video series to help our new clients to go through and actually re-educate them, resell the team that has to use it. Because back to my example, if the front office staff isn't supportive of the kiosk, they're going to tell the patients they don't have to do it.
And it's not going to work. And then it makes you look bad, and nobody wins in that regard.
Nobody wins.
So, again, website for you guys. What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Clearwaveinc.com. Just request information. And I do have one other piece. I want to make a little bit of a somber note. Our chairman of the board, Bill Nordmark, passed away this week.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so Bill was 69 years old. He's been with us the last 10-plus years as chairman. Just a tremendous individual, pillar of the community. So he went to Georgia State. He was executive vice president at Blue Cross Blue Shield for a bunch of years. And then he's actually started, even in his late 60s, he started different groups in Atlanta to bring the community together. Just a really tremendous individual. So, I mean, I don't want to end on a down note. And at the same time, I want to thank Bill, and our wishes go to his family. And we did a company cookout a couple weeks ago. Bill came to the cookout, and it's just a tremendous individual, and just spoke for a few minutes and about how important it is to serve the client. At the end of the day, that's what matters. And again, I lead sales. And then, you know, Bill talked about it's not about sales. It's about delivering value to your clients. So he will be missed. And my thoughts and prayers go out to his family.
Well, thank you, Sean, for sharing your story, and keep up the good work.
Really appreciate it. Thanks for inviting me.
And that's clearwaveinc.com.
Yes, sir.
All right. Hang with us. Got one more guest. Next up on High Velocity Radio, we got Gerson Cardona and Leo Rojas with MobiCap. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hey, thank you for having us.
Thank you, guys.
Tell us about MobiCap. How are you serving folks?
So pretty much kind of following on theme here with Sean, which I love the concept, by the way. I think the biggest thing that people take for granted is the value of time. So that's kind of where we got started. Gerson and I met back in 2014, 2015. We both worked at Tesla. And that's where we met, became friends, and kind of had this vision of why is there such a gap in the automotive space where you spend money on a vehicle, but you also have to spend time on that same vehicle to care for it, to wash it, to take it, to get maintenance. So it becomes an actual hindrance on your lifestyle. So that's kind of what we do. We save people time by tending to all of their automotive needs.
So Sean mentioned the word concierge. That's a word you're comfortable with, right?
Correct.
So now how do you become my vehicle's concierge?
That's a great question. So the first thing is we have clients or potential clients go to our website, read up, and just sign up. Right? All you have to do is request information, and we reach out to you. And what that journey looks like is we go out and we give you a complimentary detail as a welcome aboard present. So in that same first visit, we also take analytics of your car. So we'll take in things like your tire tread, your air pressure, your fluids. We'll create a custom profile for you in our CRM database that allows us to let you know when your service is due. So Every month we come out, we'll wash your vehicle, and we can let you know, hey, Lee, you're coming up for an oil change. What's the best time for us to pick the vehicle up, get the service done for you, and bring it back so you don't miss a beat?
Okay, so you're helping all of the kind of the regular maintenance of the vehicle. That's now your problem.
Correct.
You're my kind of concierge for all my vehicle needs.
Perfect. Exactly. That's a way. We're your personal concierge for your automotive needs.
Now, what if I have like a problem? Like, oh, your transmission went or some issue. Do you help us in that area as well?
Yeah, definitely. So that's a good question. So what we kind of do is we want to create an ecosystem for our clients. So we want to become their automotive person, right? So just, you know, go on our app. Hey, I have an issue with my vehicle. We can have somebody go out there, diagnose it, and facilitate the rest of the repair from there. From anything from setting up the appointment to taking the vehicle in, returning with a loaner, rental car if you request one. So we can facilitate the entire process.
So membership has some privileges.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So now I used to have a guy in the neighborhood that would fix the car. Now he has since retired, and then a large organization has now taken over his thing. So I don't have a guy anymore. Is MobiCap my guy? Are they the ones that are kind of watching my back?
So MobiCap is the person that watches your back. So what we do is instead of taking the liability and responsibility of going to your home and, you know, changing your oil on site, what we do is we partner with the larger guys.
Right.
So we say, hey, we're going to bring your clients. We're going to advocate for them. We're going to speak on their, you know, their behalf. And that way.
So take care of them.
Correct. So that's our goal at the end of the day.
So now, so how does that work? So I join, I'm a member of MobiCap. And it's a minimal amount, right?
Yeah, $65 a year.
$65 a year, and that gives me some privileges. Some of it is you come to like, if I needed detailing, you can come to my work and detail?
Correct.
Is that accurate? Yep. Or my house? Wherever the car is.
Wherever the vehicle is, we use a really eco-friendly approach to our wash, which is kind of how we got started. We use less than 2 gallons of water per any wash to go ahead and fully wash your vehicle. And that gives you a discounted rate for us to do such. And that also lets us put eyes on your vehicle, take a look at the analytics, what it's looking like, to make sure we keep our database as updated as possible.
So now, and then what's the, you do something that every wash, something is donated, clean water, that's an important cause for guys?
Correct. So that's kind of our slogan is save water, give water. So the traditional car wash uses anywhere from 50 to 100 gallons of water. We use less than two, and then what we do is we donate per every car wash that we do to communities in need of potable water.
Mm-hmm. And that's a real concern all over the world.
Correct. Yeah. Especially in countries that, I mean, there's literally women and children that their job is to walk miles, tens of miles a day just to come back with enough water for a day or two.
Right. So this is so I can feel good about being part of the MobiCap family. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Then we know that every time that a car is being washed, that you're helping somebody in need. Now for you in your journey, tell us a little bit about your backstory.
So me in particular, I spent 6 years in the Marine Corps, and from there I worked for Apple for a number of years, and Apple transitioned over to Tesla, which is where I met Garrison, our CEO and co-founder.
So you came from the military, so service was important.
Definitely, yeah.
And then you learned some skills there.
Yep.
And then we had a guy in the other day that was from the military. His transition was a little rougher, but he got on the right track. Did you have a good transition from the military to civilian life?
It was definitely different. I was really lucky and humbled to be part of such good teams at the professional sectors that I've had, starting with Apple. I mean, outstanding company to be part of, right? Their beliefs and they take care of their employees, mm-hmm. absolutely. And from there, working with companies like Tesla and even Utility, which is a local technology company, an IoT company, great transition. They definitely made it so... They're very veteran friendly, is what I would say.
And then for you to make the leap into an entrepreneurial venture like this, how was that?
It was scary. It was definitely scary. At first, it was something that was a complete hobby, right? So we would.
So you were working at Tesla and doing this on the side?
So I actually had left Tesla before we started, and I was working at Utility Inc., which is the IoT for first responders, is what they do. I was a systems engineer for them, and I would travel every week, just like clockwork. So we would come back on Fridays, and then Garrison and myself would go out and we would wash these cars as a hobby, right? We're just like, hey, this is something different. Let's see what we can do with this. And it very quickly became something that gained so much traction that we both had to leave our jobs. And
so was it when did the build the app part come in?
That was kind of the vision for the long term, right? Garrison approached me and said, man, how cool would it be if I could just ask Siri to have my car washed? Like, that'd be great. And so that was always in the back of our minds, and we wanted to kind of just build the platform and gauge traction first.
So which one of you is the web person that can build an app?
So our CTO is actually the one that's been doing all the app work. We've been giving them the ideas and we're the visionaries, if you will. But yeah, we just finished our first iteration of our app, so we're still in the last steps of beta testing and hoping to go live here within the next week or so.
So now, when I have the app, it's just like calling an Uber, right?
Very similar. Yeah.
So have you come by?
Correct. So it's very easy. You log in and then you have a very, it's a secure chat screen in which we can not only talk to you, you can voice concerns or just ask a general question. But you can also, we'll send you a link so you can see a real time location of your specialist. If we have somebody on their way to you to either wash your vehicle or facilitate a service.
Do I have to be there for the vehicle to be washed?
Not at all. That's the best part about it. Our clients often use this when they're out of town or on vacation. They're like, hey,
get in the car?
A lot of customers will even leave us garage codes, or they'll leave us their Teslas. A lot of what we do, and they can be open remotely,
right?
Which is really neat. But our goal at the end of the day is to facilitate time, right? We want to give time back for important things, whether it's family, work, personal time. And that's something that we feel that in this space, in the automotive sector, it's especially a tool like a car that you use every single day. takes so much of your time and money. So that's where we want to kind of split the line.
So now, are you looking for individual, just like who's your prospect? Just a person with a nice car? Are they higher end cars? Or are you working with kind of like this here? This is an office building. Would you be interested in working with the office building?
Absolutely. So kind of all of the above, right? MobiCap is really aiming to become your automotive person, period. So we have three different sectors that we operate with. We operate with a direct to consumer, and that's, yes, your luxury vehicle owners, where we started at, because we feel the average,
they're the ones washing their car all the time.
Correct.
Detailing, right?
Well, one, doing that, and then two, also they value time a little bit more, right? You know, the person that doesn't make as much money is going to want to do things themselves and save the money, as where somebody who has a little bit more of that financial freedom is going to be able to say, my time is more important than the
right.
money, so let me use the time. So we use that, and then we also took an innovative approach to businesses, and we asked businesses, hey, what if we give you all the opportunities that we can offer our current customers for your employees, right? That gives you better productivity. You don't no longer have to worry
about
it.
So then I joined, but all my people are members as well?
Correct. So that's a more of a corporate membership, and that we can do there. And what that would include is, you know, your employees no longer call out because they need emissions testing done or they got a nail on the way into work. We facilitate all of that for them.
So then so there's a membership as an individual, and then there's a corporate membership?
Correct.
And then what's the corporate membership? It depends on the number of employees?
Correct. Yeah, so it varies depending on the level of the number of memberships they want to purchase.
So now if I buy a membership, is it for me as an individual, or is it a family membership, or like, you know, I have a wife and a kid that have cars, is that included, or I got to buy, everybody buys one individually?
No, it's per household. So one membership,
per household.
Take advantage now, that may change.
That may change, I would imagine. So now, so how do you see this expanding? Are you looking to have these all over the planet, and there's MobiCaps in every city?
That's the dream. So we're currently building our user base in Atlanta. We've been operational for 11 months now, and all of our growth has been organic. We're roughly doing 500 to 600 vehicles a month right now, and all of our growth has been word of mouth. We spend very minimal on, you know, boasting, a few posts on Facebook, boosting
right.
them and whatnot. But overall, our goal is to expand into different cities and offer the solution that we can offer here.
Now, how would you expand into a different market? Would you have a MobiCap person like yourself there as kind of the champion? Like, would they be an employee, or those are entrepreneurial people?
So that's something that it's still up for debate, right? We'd like to keep the quality as high as possible. We kind of want to see ourselves as the Ritz-Carlton of the automotive industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
We definitely want to cater to our client and show them how important they are to us. So we're still up for debate whether we would end up either, you know, franchising or just expanding internally. You know, when we cross that bridge is something we'll have to figure out for sure.
So now here in Atlanta, you're looking for more clients, more corporations that want to use this as a benefit to their employees. What are you looking for?
Correct. So we've experienced since January about 350% growth. So it's definitely been
so
very...
So you've stopped washing cars?
Very busy. Yeah, very busy. We right now we have a team of 10.
10,
and,
wow.
And we're growing even more. We started funneling into the sector as well of implementing technology in vehicles. So we can help implement smart dash cameras and, you know, help up.
Oh, so you're doing installs of certain,
correct.
Like, aftermarket?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we essentially anything that you need vehicle-related, we want to be the first stop, right? We want to say, hey, I need this done.
We can do that, too.
Correct.
So then the membership, I pay for the membership. I get a discounted rate. There's probably a member rate for the different things, or a non-member rate, I would imagine, right?
Correct.
And then if I wanted to do, hey, put a dash cam in, that's an add-on.
Correct.
Right. And then being a member is, again, get some benefits. Maybe it's a better deal as a member than it would be for a non-member.
Correct. It gives you 20% off of anything we offer. Right. So automatically you save money just by being a member. And then you get more opportunities for things that we would host. Like we randomly do cars and coffee at different local coffee shops. And, you know, we'll have our members come out and enjoy coffee on us. Things of that, you know, that sort.
So you're creating events and you're just trying to create that concierge experience, right?
Correct.
Above and beyond. Surprise,
correct.
And delight.
Exactly.
That's what you're
That's
all about.
That's the one.
So now, for you, how can we help you?
So we're currently just wanting to spread the message, right? We definitely are a different company. We offer so much that it's almost a little bit of a chore to explain to somebody. Well, hey, we're a vehicle concierge company, and the
what does that mean?
Correct.
People all have a different picture in their head of what that means.
Exactly. That's the question that follows: is what is that? So we have to explain to them. Well,
right.
we do
X, this, Y, that, and that. And but the sweet spot though is it started with car wash and detailing.
Yes.
And that's, you do that exceptionally well.
Yes, we're that's what we're kind of known for right now, and our clients love us. They love that we can leave their cars looking almost like new, right off of such minimal water, mm-hmm. and that the experience caters to them. So we have clients that we can perform a car wash while the car is inside the garage. So we have clients that will just open up the garage and let us do our thing, and that's it. Or they'll, you know, we'll come to their office, and when they leave work, their car's great.
And if somebody wanted to learn more, what's the best way? Is there a website for you guys?
Yeah, it's mobicap.us. Also, you know, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, all of those.
Now, I want to mention that this, you were brought to us by Adam Merlin.
Correct.
With the Merlin Auto Group. And Adam sponsored your story, and that's a gift that he gave to you, that it helps us and helps you get the word out about the good work you're doing. So how do you know Adam?
Yeah, definitely. Adam is a great mentor to us. He's a good friend, he met us early on. And
there's a lot of vehicles in his world, right?
A ton of vehicles in his world, absolutely. Very nice ones, too.
Keep you busy.
Oh, yeah. So with him, we approached him and asked him kind of for mentorship. Said, hey, here's what we're looking to do. We know you're in this space. Well, you know, mm-hmm. can you help us? And he was really paramount to just the ideas that he would offer, and the approaches, right, were a little bit different than what we were accustomed to, but it leaps and bounds is what we were able to do that.
Right.
With that partnership.
He's a good guy, and mm-hmm. and if you need an exotic car,
he's the one to go.
I would call him, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He knows a thing or two about the pretty nicest cars on the planet.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And world-class service.
Right. So now for you, it's mobicap.us website?
Correct.
And then is the app in the app store?
The app is currently in the app store. We are right now testing, so it's still a little buggy. We're trying to work some of those out. So our official, you know, release will be here in a few weeks. But yeah, the app is live in the app store now.
And then if they go to the website, though, then I can submit my stuff and I can get started with a membership and things like that.
Absolutely. I'm just waiting for my phone to go off. Let me know that you signed up.
You will get that shortly. So this is Leo and Gerson with MobiCap. Thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, Katie. I'm going to call it a day here.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on High Velocity Radio.